Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" See, the words from this man who was blind and now healed are also words for us today to ponder anew in this season of Lent. Who is the Lord Jesus? Who is he for us? See, throughout this journey of Lent, oftentimes we feel blind, unable to find our way. We need someone to lead us. We need the Lord to reveal to us who our Messiah is. Our reading in John this morning is framed in two ways of seeing. One is false and one is true. See, we have this man who is born blind from birth, who sinned, and his disciples asked, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he deserved this fate of being blind?" See, when the disciples looked upon him, they looked at him like the rest of the world. What did he do to deserve this? They thought people who do bad things have bad things happen to them. People who do good things have good things happen to them. But Jesus throws a wrench into that whole idea, and he says, "It was not this man who sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." See, this isn't to say that this man was without sin completely. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But do not think that by what you see that you can say and tell why somebody is suffering. Don't think that you can judge from a distance and say, "Yep, this person did that, and that's their punishment. But I'm not suffering because I'm better than that guy." See, it doesn't work like that. At another time, Jesus says what your response and my response ought to be when you see suffering: repent. See, our reading also ends with another way of seeing. Only this is a gift from Jesus. Jesus said that he came for judgment. "I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." See, the judgment that Jesus speaks of is not in conflict with John 3:17, "For the Son of Man did not come into the world to judge or condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." See, here Jesus is speaking of what the real division, what the real dividing line of salvation is. It's not between those who are sinners and those who are not. We're all sinners. No, the dividing line is between those who see Jesus as their Savior, and those who refuse to see Jesus as their Savior. You see, the real trick of the devil is to even set up before our eyes a Jesus of our own image. Someone or something to look like the Savior, but in reality is a charade. Maybe it is Jesus of the prosperity gospel that says God will bless you with monetary wealth and your best life now. Maybe it's Jesus, my homeboy. Maybe it's Jesus, that strict judge who's standing over you, ready to zap you at the moment you make a misstep. Maybe it's the 60s hippie Jesus who speaks peace and love. Maybe it's the sentimental and effeminate Jesus. Maybe it's the Jesus who only speaks of acceptance and tolerance. Maybe it's the Jesus, the radical revolutionary, who's ready to set the world on fire. There are lots of false Jesuses, but our reading this morning invites us once again to humbly come before the Lord as this man who was healed and say, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" See, we see the Jesus who first sees the blind man and says God's works will be done in him. Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud, and smears it in the man's eyes. He says, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," and he comes back seeing. That's the way Jesus heals, not merely with the wave of a hand, but he takes hold of the dirt like the Creator, and he brings new creation out of it. He uses means to bring healing. However, the Pharisees refused to see it. They continue to question whether or not this man was truly blind to begin with. They want to know who it was that did this on the Sabbath of all days. And they refuse to see Jesus as the Messiah. When this young man grows impatient with their questioning, they cast him out. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, goes and seeks him out. At the same time, and he speaks a word of sternness towards those who refuse to see him, a word of judgment to the Pharisees who remain blind. But to this man who was blind, Jesus gives him the gift of sight, and he reveals to him who he is, the Messiah, the Savior. See, in Scripture, we get a Jesus, the Jesus, who doesn't fit our human images of him. He's the Jesus who comes to us, who is God and man, the Word made flesh. He comes to us in creaturely ways. And with that is the Jesus who, in all of his power and might as God, suffers himself to be refused. He comes to us looking as an ordinary man, as an ordinary man. He uses words. He uses elements in water, bread, and wine. Even when Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life," people can reject him. They can insist on being blind to who he is. As true God and true man. See, and that's what the world did to him. This world refused to see Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Savior of the world. Jesus spit in the mud to create healing, but the world spit in his face. And they led him down the path to Golgotha. They hung him on a cross. He was bloodied and executed. See, the world looked at him and said, "Was it this one who sinned?" Look at what he did to deserve such a fate. But with the eyes of faith, we see that this is the work of God, Jesus on the cross. The works of God being accomplished for you. See, Jesus is without sin. He followed the Father's will perfectly. It was our rejection of him, our sin laid upon him, that he bore on the cross and suffered and died. This was God's judgment against sin. And Jesus stood in our place. And because he suffered and died for us in perfect submission to the Father's will, God raised him from the dead, so that all who are in him do not receive what they deserve. They receive his life. See, the cross is God's work for you. Jesus comes to you today to deliver the benefits of his dying and rising. But Jesus always suffers himself to be rejected. He comes to you in humble ways, simple words, water, bread, wine. They can be rejected. They might not look all that amazing, but this is the way that the Lord deems fit to speak to you, to bring you healing, to give you life, to grant you forgiveness. And when our eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit through these works of God, we see that these gifts are truly beautiful. Our Lord uses means to bring you new eyes of faith. He uses earthly things to bring you heavenly gifts. Jesus spit into the dirt and made it mud and smeared it into the blind man's eyes, and he had him wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus is content to use creation to bring about recreation and restoration. And so with you, the Lord uses earthly things to give you heavenly gifts that open your eyes. In the waters of baptism, by the power of the word, those waters are life-giving waters. He does not simply snap his fingers. No, water is poured out over you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God's promises are physical and real, substantial and concrete, so that you won't forget. In these waters, you are made new. And the Lord speaks to you through words that are physical and embodied. God uses physics to give you the eyes of faith. He uses tongues and mouths and sound waves and eardrums to bring you to faith. The word of God bounces around in your ears and creates faith. It opens your eyes to see Jesus as your Savior. And at this meal, the Lord, with his words, "This is my body and this is my blood," gives you himself in with and under bread that was baked and formed, wine from grapes that were picked and fermented, not because these things have power in themselves, but because God's word is attached to them. This is Jesus' own promise that he is present. He is present for you. God's word is embodied and external. And that's why you come here, so that you can receive his embodied word again and again. You need to receive the promise of God that open your eyes through the preached word and the sacraments given. These gifts are humble in appearance. These are the earthly ways that God gives you heavenly gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These are the things that open your eyes to see. Not the Jesus of your own making, but the Jesus who saves you by cross and resurrection. Amen.